What's going on, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, storytellers, visionaries, and changemakers who are on a mission of chasing big ideas, telling epic stories, and leaving living legacies. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative and curious life for some time, I hope you'll learn something new in this podcast and find yourself inspired to break through the barriers that hold you back and keep you stuck from getting your work to work. What is making your heart smile? What desires are you listening to deep within yourself? How are you aligning who you need to become with what you want to bring to life? These are three questions inspired by today's conversation with Michelle Boulay, a professional dancer and life coach. In our time together, Michelle shares her journey of growth and helping others see the possibilities within and around themselves. She talks about how injury allowed her to find new directions for her life, the role of alignment and energy in growth, and why she loves to explore the edge of creativity. If you're struggling to discover a way forward or lacking the belief that you too can grow, I hope you find encouragement and empowerment to change in Michelle's words. Show notes and links to all the good stuff mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/539.
I'm endlessly curious about growth and our human potential. And I can say that because I know it's just been something that has always been coursing through me as an individual. But there we go. That's exactly it. Human potential. but it's something I love helping other people discover. You know, I started actually teaching when I was taking dance classes as a child. I started teaching, I don't know if I was even in the double digits yet. And I continued to teach to this day, you know, either like just through my coaching or if I'm teaching workshops or even still teaching dance. And I love helping a person see where there is possibility and that possibility integrated from within themselves. I mean, it's like fireworks and rainbows and all kinds of things for me. You know, it's just because it's so beautiful. It's watching, for me, it's like watching life come to life through a person. So I'm endlessly curious about the things I can study to support that within myself and within others. Because you know what? There's also so much amazing information on there or out there and or in there also.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a beautiful journey for a very short period of time that we get to be here on the planet.
Wow. I mean, what a fabulous answer. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, like when you're not even 10 years old yet and you're teaching, what does that look like?
Oh gosh. Okay. So that was probably just, I was taking dance classes and one of them was like an acrobatics class. And so I was in there just helping the teacher, you know, this is how you do the back bends. And, but I think I just always knew I was a teacher. And even my sisters and more so my sisters, I see when I would see their kids, they just laugh at me and just be like, oh my God, there she goes teaching them again. You know? So it's just like, I think I love information. I love how it helps us grow. And so, you know, in college, I was teaching again. And then actually, you know, within a few weeks of being in New York, I had quote unquote a fortuitous experience where a teacher whose class I went to take one morning, he was like, oh, I can't make it next week. Can you sub for me?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, of course, you know, and so that started my teaching career in New York that then led to me teaching in many different countries around the world.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
What surprises you most when it comes to human potential? Because there's so many things that I think we're capable of doing. And yet, it sounds like there's so much to learn about what we're capable of as well.
Yeah. You know, I would say the thing that surprises and interests me most right now is all about alignment. And, you know, I think being raised in the US and kind of with a hard work, you know, almost like puritanical work ethic. Right. You know, there's a very common notion that you have to work harder. And I have definitely subscribed to that. And I am a very hard worker. Mm-hmm. I really learned that from my dad growing up. But there is something, and I value it, but there's also something which I learned as a dancer too, that when you start to align to something, it becomes more effortless. Like I, as a dancer, I would try to, you know, we'd be in class, I'd do the first exercise, let's say it's ballet. There's always something called pliés. You do pliés in the beginning. And when I was a teenager, I would be sweating. I'd be dripping during pliés, you know, because I was working so hard. And then eventually I injured myself because when we're not in alignment, we get injured, you know, our relationships suffer, our businesses suffer. And then I learned a lot more about alignment, how the body works, like what's how to do something efficiently. And then, you know, it's about 45 minutes into the class, you know, in my 20s, 30s, and I haven't dropped a bead of sweat yet, you know? So I think there's something that is very elegant and graceful, actually. And, you know, we have to go through that clunky period of like, oh, I have no idea how to do this. It's like, you know, I'm right. tripping, I'm falling, I'm making tons of mistakes. So that's a beautiful part of the journey too, that I think I'm, as I say that to myself, I have to remind myself of that too. You know, it's just, it is going to look chunky, clunky, awkward for a while, but if a person commits to it, that's the thing. It's committing the time, the intention, the energy, and I want to say the love towards something that eventually it starts to unfold in an ease that, you know, we may not have imagined was possible.
So when you say alignment, what do you mean by that?
So if we look at it in relationship to the body, you know, that's probably an easy way for some people to think about this. Let's say you're running and your knee, your right knee is sort of pointed inwards. And, you know, if you keep running and that your knee isn't going over your toe, like that would be the physical alignment in the way that the body's built to function most efficiently. If your knee's not going over your toe, eventually you're going to start to get pain there. And unless you figure out how to realign that body use, you'll get an injury. So with other things, like let's say someone's business, maybe it's sales calls or relationships and conversations, there can be an alignment there around how you're thinking and what you're believing about a situation. And a lot of times we actually believe something that is not true. So if you're operating from a belief system that is not true, you will create misalignments. You'll create more untruths. And I believe that life actually gives us the opportunity to uncover those through our conflict, our pain, and our struggle. Because I don't believe ultimately that we are meant to struggle and suffer in this life.
Wow. What an interesting way to look at that. I love the reframe on what struggle means. Struggle as a means of being out of alignment.
Yeah, I really believe that. And I think I've had enough injuries and disappointments in my life where I go back and I ask, okay, I somehow was a participant in creating this. So I'm not going to make myself a victim. Rather than by asking that question, and this is what I do with my clients all the time too, and it can be a hard lesson, right? Because life is hard. We should, you know, we can just say that, like it's not fair. But if a person can say, okay, how am I involved in creating this, and they can step back, and if they are the cause of this effect in their life, this result, this circumstance, whatever it is, then they can go in and learn, and I can guide a person. Okay, so what are you doing? What are you thinking? What actions are you taking that are actually leading you to this cause? Let's rewind that and work on the cause and create a new result.
Ooh, that has to be powerful for people.
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, I see people who, like, you know, I worked with a client, like loving person, but in so much struggle because she grew up in environments where people didn't teach her things like this. You know, there was manipulation, there was toxicity, and everyone has that to a small degree or a big degree in their life. So when a person can step back and really look at the truth of the situation, it's so empowering. And what will happen too, as I take a person through this, is there will be resistance, confusion, overwhelm, you know. So my job when I'm working with someone is just to be like, okay, let's hold steady. What's the truth here? Because the truth is really simple. And I can't go into you know, their story, because it's like I'm going into the like the convoluted nature of how their mind was conditioned. And I'm saying, you know, I have done the exact same thing and I still do. That's why I have a coach too, because we can't see our blind spots.
Right.
So to be able to take a person through that process again, you know, it's beautiful. It's like, it's so rewarding to see like, okay, if they change this, their life is going to be so much better. And it just makes my heart smile.
Mm. I love that. Mm. You've talked a lot about alignment of the body and alignment of our mind, but then there's also that spirit component. How do all three of those align together to really take us to that next level of potential?
Mm, I love this question. So one great way that I work with spirit, which I was taught through someone else first, but they learned it from my current mentor who, you know, who knows where he learned it from his mentors. But the word desire means of the Father or of spirit. Mm. So I think there's something when a person starts to listen to their desires, and this is something we get programmed out of, you know, the little kid is like, I want to be an artist, or I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a president. And depending on their parenting, you know, they could get anything from ideally, okay, cool. Like, what do you want? What do you love about it? Let's explore it. To what do you think you are? Or like a laugh that may seem harmless, but I can tell you, I work with people in their 30s and 40s, and they'll tell me, and older. I have one client who just turned 81, which is amazing.
Whoa.
I know. I was
That's
like,
awesome.
Isn't it so inspiring?
Yes.
It's
oh
so
my
great.
Gosh.
Yeah,
that is great.
And actually, you know, his daughter works with me. I've been in, I've done some workshops where his grandchildren are in the workshop too. So it's really beautiful.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, there can be a story that, you know, I had a client share this recently. They said they wanted to be something as a child and their mother laughed it off and they still remember that story.
Hmm.
You know, there's some charge around it. So
yeah.
I think it's a fascinating journey to start to listen to desire, you know, because a person may say, and I went through this myself, I want to make more money. And I had a lot of shame around it. I grew up, you know, in my adult life, I was surrounded mostly by artists because I was a professional dancer. I still am. And there can be a lot of money shame. There's a starving artist archetype.
Mm-hmm.
So people stay away from it while at the same time, you know, on some level, they really know that they need it, you know, to bring their beautiful art to life. I mean, their beautiful ideas. So the spiritual aspect, I think, is starting to listen to that voice within you. Making space for it because it only speaks through you. And I believe that that is actually a way a person discovers their uniqueness. Mm-hmm. And that uniqueness is related to why they are here on this planet. Mm-hmm. And it can be as big or small. It doesn't even matter. It's all relative anyway. But when a person starts to listen to that, and I believe we do have a compass. I work with that in some of my movement practices that I teach in my monthly subscription program. I believe we do have a compass within us that keeps guiding us. So the words I like to use are to our fullest potential, our best health, and our highest expression. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we listen to on a spirit level, maybe even first. Mm-hmm. And then we start to align our bodies and our minds around that as well to support whatever this greater energy is that wants to come through us, however that wants to be expressed.
How have you helped people to trust that inner voice, the voice of desire, the voice of dreams, the voice of maybe past potential that they ignored?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would say like never beat yourself up for that because you're still alive today and it's not too late to start. I think that's really important because people will go down a path of they're just in that sabotage, you know, so, and nothing can change from that alignment. So first of all, step back from that, start to listen to the answer to this very simple question, what do you want? And that might be, you know, when I start on a really basic level with someone, it's just like, go through your day and really ask yourself that question in the most mundane way. Do I want to go outside right now? Do I want to call my friend? There's another level that I won't get into quite yet, but around like business, you know, you can't just ask yourself, oh, do I really want to do this sales call? You know, because your business, the larger context is you really want your business. You know, if you want your business to run, then yes, you do that sales call. The vision makes the decision rather than some program that's trying to sneak you into sabotage again. Mm-hmm. So there's that question. And then because I have, you know, 40 years of dancing in my body, in my history, I developed a movement practice called Moving with Innate Wisdom. And I do this in my monthly subscription program. And it's very, very basic. Mm-hmm. There are no directions like now move your arms like this or roll your head like that. It's really just being able to listen. Mm-hmm. And there are times, even when I've done this live with, you know, everyone in the same room in a studio or whatnot, there are times when people just fall asleep, you know, because they need to sleep. Their body, you know, needs to process something or just go into that deep rest. And let's say we're doing it for 30 minutes and then maybe, you know, in minute 25, they pop up and they're just energized. Or there are sometimes where a person just needs to start moving or making sound. And, you know, it might look really quote unquote animalistic, but first of all, we are animals. Mm-hmm. And second of all, we've been conditioned to live in our bodies in a very particular way that oftentimes inhibits our expression. Mm-hmm. So in this low stakes, very safe movement practice, a person can start to open up to, oh, okay, I'm going to breathe differently. Oh, wow, this is new. This is free. Mm-hmm. Maybe they start to lift their shoulders or expand their chest in a way that they don't do normally in life because they're afraid on a subconscious level that they're going to get in trouble for it. So they're in this place where it's like, ah, let me listen to the desires that are moving through my body. Let me be available to them, not label them. Because there's an equivalent, like, you know, a person could, as I said, open their chest up, but they might in their day-to-day conscious thinking say, oh, that's really arrogant mm-hmm. or too proud or too bold. But, you know, they get this time where they're not in those labels and they get to do that. Or they get to cry and release grief or sadness and be okay with it. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of people that also get raised with, don't be sad. I got raised with that at times, like, don't be sad. And I was like, wait a second, but I am sad. You right. know, like all of our emotions have a function. Mm-hmm. So just to go back, because I know I'd said a lot of things, it's just about creating safe spaces, just step by step and in a consistent way where a person can start to be available. And again, as a dancer, I really love to approach it through the body and the energy that is actually coursing through our bodies all the time. And once that starts to get clearer, the person starts to go into different thinking and behaviors, mm-hmm. and then voila, they create a new reality.
Whoa.
We went kind of deep with that one.
Yeah, that's great. And what's interesting is, like, you said a couple of things already that is very intriguing to me. The first one, you were talking about the charge of things. And then you mentioned energy. And I think sometimes as creative entrepreneurs, as human beings, we can, if we're not in touch with things like energy, we can be turned off by people like, oh, what is this new age weird stuff? But I mean, energy courses through us in ways that we might not understand. So how does energy psychology enter the picture when it comes to our creativity, entrepreneurship, business, and life in general?
Yeah. So, you know, my path to discovering more about energy was through being out of alignment. I got injured as a dancer. I had to quit dancing for 2 years from 16 to 18, and I thought I was done. And, you know, long short story short, I ended up at a university that had a really good dance program, had no idea it existed. Learned a lot about how to align my physical body towards potential and again, like energy moving through it. And then mm-hmm. it was injuries later on when I was living in New York where my back was hurting. And mm-hmm. I went to see an amazing chiropractor that I worked with for the whole time I lived in New York. And he would say something to me, okay, well, we need to work on your anger. And I was like, my anger is my back. You know, like now I'm like, duh, of course. So it started to just open up this larger picture of, and this had begun like even in my teenage years when I got injured, but just we are more energy than we are matter. And I hear Dr. Bruce Lipton, who wrote the book called The Biology of Belief, say this statistic all the time. I think even, you know, there's other people that he speaks a lot with that, you know, we are 99.99999% energy and 0.00001% matter. But we're still trying to change things through the material world, you know? So for me, the illustration was, okay, I started to resolve this anger that was being held in my body and my back pain went away. Huh. I started to realize, oh, I do this, like I hold my stomach in. I was a dancer, you know, and a woman, like hold my stomach in a certain way when I'm self-conscious. And that was causing pain through one side of my pelvis. And then I started catching that. And I was like, oh, I'm doing it again. Okay, let me stop doing that. And then the pain went away. Wow. So it wasn't like go to that part of your body and fix it. It's what is actually causing it. It's the way that I'm thinking, which creates an emotion, which creates a physical pattern in my body. So when I change the thinking, like I don't have to be self-conscious. Okay, relax. My body shifts. I get a new result. You know, in my 20s and 30s, the focus was on, okay, I can dance again. I can dance without injury. And, you know, there was something also that I experienced as a dancer where I would do performances where maybe I was on stage for 90 minutes straight. I never left. Or like one piece was 75 minutes long and it was like a marathon. Oh, wow. I was like, what are all the things I can do to get through this and thrive? And it was always about like how I was thinking. You know, if I was kind of worried about what everyone else was thinking, it would just like zap my energy. And again, I would be out of alignment. I wouldn't have a great performance. If I opened up to letting something move through me, which is, I believe it's just what we are, you know, we are vessels for information and experience to course through us. When I did that, there were times when I would finish performing and I would have more energy. I wasn't depleted because I was available. And it was almost just like I had, even though I had exerted 75, 90 minutes of dancing, performing on stage, it was like I plugged into a charger and I actually got more.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know where that question started, but that's where we landed.
No, that's great. I mean, it's so incredible to think about this idea that we can spend energy, but also get charged back up.
Yeah. You know, it's sort of like, gosh, I can't remember if it's an Emerson quote. It's like you start to do something also, and then you get the energy for it. And I think it's a really helpful one for business owners because there's things that we resist, right? That we know yes. need to happen to grow our business. But the problem is not the thing. It's all the resistance.
Yeah.
So once you get in there and you start doing it, it's like, oh, that's not so bad. Let me do it five more times. Like, let me reach out to five more people. Mm-hmm. The thing that like that draws or drains our energy is what we're thinking. It's our resistance usually and our fear. And, you know, growth doesn't happen via fear. The nature doesn't grow because it's afraid. And the same is true for us as humans. We grow in that place of desire and trust and expansion. And I believe like that is alignment when we become available and open to what wants to move through us. And that's what I teach in that movement practice. And then, you know, I find in my life when I'm really in that practice with regularity, I meet people that I need to meet. I go to the place I need to go to, you know, without like, okay, how can I plan this out? What's the best place? Right. You know, like sort of this like restrictive, strategic, fear-based thinking. Rather, okay, how do I open up and listen? What wants to move through me? Where do I need to go? Because I do believe, you know, we're supported and guided.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you always want to be an entrepreneur or was your main focus from the beginning dance?
I started dancing, I thought, when I was 5, but recently my parents began to say it was 3 or 4. One says 3, the other says 4. And I just knew that I liked that. I think it gave me a place where I could feel confident, mm-hmm. where I felt like I had a sense of control and discovery and wonder and freedom. And I got injured when I was 16. And I thought I was done. And I actually mm-hmm. applied to my university as a business major. But then that summer I was like, why did I do that? And I went into liberal arts and, like, you know, like visited 8 different departments trying to figure out what in the world to do with my life, because up until that time it was all dancing.
Right.
But the funny thing is that for whatever reason, I have that creative mind. Mm-hmm. And then I seem to have enough of a business mind to be able to, well, I can be really organized, but really see details and see how to arrange them and pay attention to how money is working. So I always had that. My first job in New York, or one of my first jobs, because as a dancer there, you know, my first dance job paid me $3 per rehearsal, which was, at that time, it was round trip subway fare.
Right.
So it was like, okay, every time you come to rehearsal, that's what you get. 1999. So one of the office job that I had, I learned how to do bookkeeping, and I was just really good at it. which is not the case for many artists.
Right.
You know, there are definitely things where I'm working with my team now and they're telling me about data and I'm just like, huh? Like, I really, my brain can't go there. Just tell me what to do and I'll do my best. You know, you take care of that. So I think any entrepreneur has to know that too. Like, you, when you're first building your business, you have to learn as much as you can about everything. Mm-hmm. But then eventually you want to bring people in who have many more skills than you in certain areas, and that starts to elevate your business. So, you know, I didn't set out to be an entrepreneur, but the dancing that I did in New York and around the world was all gig-based. I didn't mm-hmm. want to dance for a company for whatever. I think part of that reason was because I was always interested in growth. And I could just kind of sense, like, there's amazing work that comes out of dance companies, but it just wasn't the place where I saw the most experimentation happening, where I knew I would be able to really collaborate with the choreographers I was working with. So I really wanted to be in that place of sort of the edge of creativity and exploration. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't even realize it. Maybe I've worked one semester at a university where I was full-time, but I have, for my entire adult life, it's been a conglomeration of different jobs. And then, you know, I started doing energy healing in 2008 and then more coaching. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to build that business in a way that has completely surprised me. I think because I've been committed to growth and studying mm-hmm. with people who know way more than I do and can reveal to me the paradigms where so much more is possible than what most people in the world actually think.
Yeah. And what's so fascinating about that story, Michelle, is, like, you didn't get trapped in, like, the usual identity trap that I think a lot of creatives do. It's like, when they are doing their thing, that is what their identity is. And it's almost like when you got injured, you allowed yourself to see new possibilities at that point.
Yeah, I love that comment. You know, we have to ask ourselves too, like, why are we so tied to an identity?
Right.
You know, it's like, again, is it fear or is it desire? And I have definitely had to go through this as I built my business. There are times when I've been in tears, like, oh my God, I'm not a dancer anymore. Like, honestly, more than once over several months, if not a couple years, you know, and it's just, I think there's a law, which is the law of sacrifice, the universal law. And it's that at times we have to let go of something of a lower nature to step into something of a higher nature. So, you know, if I wasn't spending hours in the studio every single day, it was because I was spending hours figuring out how to make a sales call ethically and effectively. You know, so there's some times where we have to give things up. And I think it's always for an individual, an entrepreneur, creative entrepreneur, like, what is the thing that you want to make happen truly, truly, truly? And what is required to make that happen? So then it's like you become a, maybe this isn't the best word, but well, a servant or a disciple to that vision. You become a student of it.
Yeah.
And I think there's nothing lost in that. Again, I think, you know, it's usually a fear thing, or there's some limited thinking that's operating that doesn't let us see again that more is possible than we actually realize.
And it sounds like too, when we're stuck in an identity, you know, I like the idea of fear, you know, connecting it to fear, but it's like, it's what's known. And so, you know, there's this tension between what is known and what is unknown. And how do you help artists and creatives become more comfortable with the unknown?
Well, the first thing is, I think creatives and artists are the best people. They like know how to do that already. You know, it's just like how many times I've gone into a studio and I have no idea what's going to happen. You know, even if you're doing anything like live performance too, there are so many unknowns. Like you can have the best intentions on how things, how something's going to happen, and then the lights go out or someone misses their cue, you know, and it's just, okay, we got to improvise. But I think the thing that happens, especially when fear is playing a big role, is we start to focus on what we're losing rather than what we could potentially gain. So what we lose is known, right? Like, I know I'm going to lose this job and all the benefits, and a person can get so stuck looking in that direction. So we could bring in one of the other universal laws, the law of polarity, or I mean, the law of sacrifice applies here too, but the person is looking at what they're losing rather than what they're gaining. That place of the gain is the unknown. And of course, I encourage people to not just blindly take risks, but study. Like, study how successful people have taken risks and grown. Study how the world works. Because there really are basic principles that make things happen. That it's like the way the world runs. So that's been super helpful for me. And it's something I bring to my clients too. Like, how are you thinking about this? So if we go back to people, you know, they're looking at what they're losing. That's totally measurable. And we just have to act with faith. Like, you know, one thing I do believe is if there's something that you can imagine, it's because you're on the same frequency with it, and you are on a level of being able to make that possible. Now the work is, are you willing to become the person who thinks in a certain way, acts in a certain way, responds in certain ways to bring that vision to life? And that's the growth. You know, everybody knows, okay, I need to do XYZ, figure out, you know, like the practical steps. But I have found, and I taught a whole course on this earlier this year called Creative People Making Money. It's the personal growth of who you have to become to have a 5 or 6 figure month, or, you know, finally have a 6 figure or a 7 figure business. That's the growth space. So it's really, you know, again, if you can imagine it, it's possible. Then are you willing to do what it takes? Are you able, and are you willing to do what it takes to reach that goal? And it will take you through a process of becoming very comfortable with the unknown. But really, the unknown is the only place we grow. So even that simple statement, you know, it's the only place of growth. Do you want to grow? Okay, get comfortable with the unknown.
Right. My mind is blown right now.
I'm sorry, you say a lot sometimes. You got me on a roll.
It's great. I mean, there's so much in what you just said, and I love the whole workshop about creative people making money, because that's something that I've struggled with from day one, and it's something that all of my friends struggle with, and everyone that I've talked to at some point or another have struggled with it. So thank you for bringing that to life for others.
Yeah, you're so welcome. You know, it came during the pandemic because I saw so many artists suffering, and I was like, wait a second here. These are the people with the best ideas. These are the people who know how to look at the world in a different way. But all of a sudden, fear strikes in a huge way. And this literally happens in our nervous system. When we're in fear, we're in our sympathetic nervous system, and we can't access the different parts of our brain, the prefrontal and the neocortex, that actually take us into that higher connection to creativity, not to mention the brain, but also your heart center. You know, this is stuff, if you're familiar with the HeartMath Institute, it's your heart field is the strongest field in your body. So I do a lot of work with people too, in bringing that field into coherence. Because when that's coherent, you have more coherent thoughts. You're actually not operating from anger and frustration, but rather trust, harmony, love, peace. And that's where we are creative. You know, we can be like creative in a survival instinct, but it's not that like expansive, you know, go back to the same word again, aligned creativity that actually, you know, if we think of money as a resource and an energy, an idea, it's an idea. You know, if a person can align to that trust and that faith and action according to certain principles, you know, it's actually easier to make money than we think.
I love the whole heart-centered approach to it too, because oftentimes I can only speak for myself, but when I'm thinking about money, it's with my head or with my gut. And both of them get me trapped.
Well, the gut might not be so bad depending on how healthy your gut is, but you know, it can be a really great place of decision making. You know, that we have so many nerve endings and so many neurotransmitters and chemicals actually produced by our gut or our enteric brain. And the small intestine is actually, it's literally doing the job all day long of deciding what to keep and what to get rid of. It's saying yes and no all day long. So, you know, in some of my energy work or psychology training, we want to have a healthy gut because it's really the place where we make good decisions from. Again, in alignment with the heart, with that heart knowing and trust.
This is so fascinating. I'm so glad you came on the show today.
I love your questions. Thank you so much.
It's just so interesting. And I think there's so much for people to learn from what you're saying, because it's so, I think, easy to just fall into a routine, fall into a pattern, and lose sight on how to grow.
Yeah. You know, there's a study. I did find it on the internet recently, but I can't quote what the source was at the moment. But it's a very simple story that I think people can remember, which is they started to design, I think this was in the US, they started to make playgrounds really safe for kids. And do you know this study?
I think I heard something similar, but keep going.
Yeah. And like kids stopped playing on the playgrounds. They're like, this is too boring, you know, because I think, you know, if there's not a lot of interference with a child in their growth process, they want a challenge. And somehow as adults, we start to step away from challenges. We think there's a lot at stake. There's a lot of different pressures. A lot of times we've just accepted limiting programming that's been passed on through our families, our ancestry, or our culture. So again, that's not the place of creative growth and expansion. So I love remembering that story about the kids. Like when I'm facing a challenge, of course, I'm not like superhuman perfect. I go into fear. I go into my blind spots, but I try to, you know, come back to what's the truth here.
Right.
Law of polarity. For every problem, there is a solution, and it exists in the same place at the same time. So if I keep focusing on the problem, what good is that going to do me? It actually doesn't put me in the awareness of being able to solve it. If I focus on, okay, I know there's a solution. Let me get my body, my energy, my spirit aligned with openness. And then, you know, the solution comes much easier because I'm not in a contracted state of being. So, you know, if you think about play, those kids on the playground, it's like, wee, let me go over here. Like, I actually remember I was in the Philippines a couple of years ago. My mom is from the Philippines, so that's half of my heritage. And I walked into this family's home and their kids go to Waldorf school. And they had this huge, like, metal, very tall, God, maybe it was like 12 feet tall, like sort of jungle gym, very simple thing in their living room. And these tiny little, like, you know, 3 foot kids are climbing to the top and swinging all around. And I was like, oh my, you know, my reaction, oh my God. But they were so capable and safe and confident. And, you know, that's the thing too, a challenge when we overcome it, that's how we build confidence. I think a lot of times now in culture, we think, okay, let me figure this out. Let me think this through. Let me, you know, but it's like, it's the confidence of trying and failing and trying and succeeding and doing that, or not the confidence, the attempts of doing that repeatedly, that actually builds our confidence, that you know that you are the person doing it, choosing it. You are the cause, and you also create the effect. And when a person really starts to understand that, you know, it's like something for making money. Like, that was one of the deeper reasons for myself to learn how to make money, but to also help other people, because mm-hmm. a lot of people live in a deep insecurity about their mm-hmm. own ability to be resourceful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they don't realize, okay, I actually have something I can give here. There's some way I'm meant to contribute. And you know what? It's actually okay to receive in response to that, or in relationship to that, because that betters someone else's life. So when a person comes to that realization, you know what? I can make money no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's a whole other level of feeling grounded and secure. And I think that, you know, it can look on a superficial level just like money, but to have more grounded, secure, capable, creative people in the world, like, that seems like a big game changer for me. So I'm all for helping people discover what the truth around that really is.
Right. Because the transformation is in how people see not only the value of what they do, but the impact on others that then has on someone else's life.
Totally. I mean, it just reminds us that as divisive as we are right now, at least in the United States, mm-hmm. we really are connected. Yeah. You know, and your growth is going to touch someone else, whether it's your child, your family, your, you know, your neighbor, or someone on the other side of the planet who sees one of your posts or something like that. You know, it's just, mm-hmm. I think we forget just how impactful all of our choices are. And that's not a burden. You know, I think that's a beautiful challenge and a gift to rise up to responsibly. I think when a person really gets in touch with that, they find the heart and the spirit of why they're here. And it makes every day seem so much more meaningful. Mm. You know, we're not just going on automatic, but we are the creators of a beautiful life now, right now, not, you know, when this XYZ happens, but really right now.
Oh, that's beautiful. So when you're coaching an 81-year-old person, and you're experiencing, I mean, that's a whole nother level of coaching, because they have 81 years of wisdom and experience.
Yeah.
What are you learning about vision and growth and possibility as you get older?
I'm learning that it really takes consistent action. I'm learning that our subconscious minds, which are what's running 95% of the day, are very, you know, the subconscious mind is very tricky. It's mm-hmm. ingenious. It's the word I've heard a lot is it's insidious. Mm-hmm. And it is always on the lookout for how to keep things the same as they are today, because you're alive. One of its jobs is to keep you alive. Mm-hmm. So it's incredible to see what excuses we believe as to why we can't do something. And, you know, what was fascinating in working with he just turned 81. We worked when he was 80. We're still working together in my group course, but, you know, for him to be so open at his age, mm-hmm. you know, and the one question I asked him when we were deciding to work together was, what's going to happen if this doesn't change, the thing that he was struggling with? Mm-hmm. And he was just blown away by that question, because at 81, he was like, I'm going to die.
Wow.
And part of it was a health thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing that a lot of people do is they push away the inevitable, which is, yes, we're going to die. Or mm-hmm. if you don't change this thing, it's going to get worse, because mm-hmm. nothing sits still. Mm-hmm. So for him, he was like, you know, before we even decided to work with me, he was like, that changed my life.
Wow.
And, you know, I don't want to share too much that's personal, but he did just email me the other day. He was out helping his sister do a move, and he's like, I can't tell you how much, you know, your work has affected me. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think just for him to see some subtle shifts And I would say this for a lot of people, right? We've all been given some message that tells us we are less than what we really truly are, that says maybe we're not worthy or we're not lovable. Mm-hmm. So to do that work where he realizes, oh my gosh, that's not true, but I set up 80 years of my life according to that. I think the freedom for him is like now he can see it. Mm-hmm. And even if he lives one more year or 25 more years, like when you turn the lights on to something that has been in a blind spot before, you can't go back.
Right.
And that's the beauty of growth. And that's also the risk of growth, right? Like, you know, once you know, it's like, okay, crap. Like sometimes I feel that I'm like, oh my God, now I have to do this. Okay, I signed up for this, but it's really that I know the benefit on the other side is much greater than the pain of staying stuck or where I am. And, you know, for me, again, it goes back to this basic principle. All of nature is here to grow. And when I'm able to step into that alignment and help other people step into that alignment, I think that's where we find peace. That's where we find the most effectiveness in our lives. And that's where we really tap into love.
What a great conversation, Michelle.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you so much for your presence, Chris. It takes two to tango.
Well, as we wrap up our conversation, speaking of growth, what book, podcast, or resource is blowing your mind and fueling your growth right now?
Oh my gosh, which one of many? You know, I've been going through this slowly and multiple times, but it's the, you know, old school Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. I'm going through the questions in the end. You know, there's an exercise at the end where he writes, like, read all these questions aloud and say your answers out loud. Mm-hmm. And I go through a couple a night and I'm like, oh my God. You know, like once you've read the book and you study the principles, and I would say it's definitely worth reading, you know, multiple times, mm-hmm. you can go back and you ask those questions and then you get hit with the truth again. Mm-hmm. So there are so many, but if I have to say one, that's the one that's currently on my bedside table.
Excellent. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. Thank you. Just thank you for the way that you show up in the world. And thank you for wanting to build a greater world of possibility for creatives and people alike.
You are so welcome. It's my total honor. I'm really touched and moved to be able to talk with you and happy to share this with anyone who listens.
There were so many moments in this conversation with Michelle that spoke to me and where I am personally at in my own life's journey. And if there's one thing to highlight, it's this. We are creators of a beautiful life right now. What is the beautiful life you're creating in this very moment? Are you sitting around waiting for it to happen in the future, or are you taking steps right now? Such a powerful question. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.